Welcome once again to Scare Theater. Are the lights low in your house? Do you hear strange sounds in the attic? Is a cold wind moaning beyond the window? Let's hope so, for tonight we join Inspector Charles Fibley as that famous detective sets out to solve the case of the Deadly Dozen. The scene of tonight's crime is a windy, cold, dark, damp, and rocky island just off the coast of Scotland. As we leave the boat dock and climb the hill, we see the castle of Lady Stenchley staring darkly at us through the gloom. It's Montgomery, the butler, who answers the door, throws a sack of garbage to the monster in the moat. And escorts us to the Stenchley drawing room. Here before the fire, 12 people have assembled to hear Wendell Oxley, the Lady Stench's lawyer, read her last will and testament.
Friends and relatives, please be seated. It is, as you know, my sad duty to read Lady Stenchley's will. I have it right here. And, before I begin, I should like to have a bit of water. Montgomery, might I have that pitcher of water there? Thank you, Montgomery. Now then. Are we all present? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Very good. Let us begin. To my favorite niece, Miss Constance Clayberry, I leave.
My God, the lights have gone out.
Thank heavens they're back on.
Good Lord, Miss Clayberry's been shot. In the drawing room.
Please be calm, friends. Montgomery, please be good enough to call Inspector Fibley. And now, let me continue. To Sir Edmund Lucy, my dear old friend, I leave.
My God, the lights have gone out.
Thank heavens they're back on.
Good Lord, they've cut Sir Edmund into teensy pieces.
Don't panic, all right? I'm sure Fibley will get to the bottom of this. Now to continue. To Aunt Clara Sexton, I bequeath my...
My God, the lights are out again.
Thank heavens they're back on.
Whoa, Aunt Clara has an arrow in her ear.
Dreadful, absolutely dreadful. But I'm sure Fibley is on his way now. Now... But we must forge ahead with the will, okay? Let's see. Ah, yes. To my wayward nephew, Desmond Samples, I leave.
My God, the lights, they're out!
Thank heavens they're back on.
Look at that! Poor Desmond has been completely squashed!
And so it went in the drawing room. First, Miss Clayberry shot. Sir Edmund machine gunned. Aunt Clara crossbowed. Desmond squished to a mishy mash. Next, Mrs. Kesley, friend and poet. He was swallowed by a giant snake. Then Melissa Van Stutt was boiled in oil. Then Griffin G. Griff, the old family doctor, is bitten by a puff adder named Rover. Next, Mrs. Pitter, the cook, is poisoned by a stale Twinkie. Montgomery, the faithful butler, dies of a broken neck after being thrown headfirst through the door of the grand ballroom. Sly, the stenchly gamekeeper, is killed by a vicious Irish setter. Morgan, the old gardener, is the 11th to go. He is found buried head down in the pettinus. As we return to the castle, we hear Lawyer Oxley say,
"To my companion and lifelong friend, Blanche Vernon, the actress, I give..." My God, the lights have gone out. Thank heavens they're back on. But what's this? Blanche Vernon, electrocuted. That means I am the only one left. But wait, someone's coming.
It is I, Mr. Oxley, Inspector Fibley at your service. I have a few questions for you. What seems to be the matter? Why are these people dead? Why are you the only one alive? Is the Stenchley will in your hand? Where were you on the night of October 31st? What is the capital of North Dakota? Where is the bathroom in this house?
May I say one thing, Inspector?
Certainly, old chap.
I want to remind you that you are talking to Wendell Oxley, heir to the Stenchley fortune. When these unfortunate people died, I became the sole heir to $40 million. You are also conversing with the fellow who has always had the highest regards for our hard-working, underpaid policemen. You are listening to Wendell Oxley, one of the most generous multimillionaires on Earth. And you are doing all of this wearing a trench coat that is dirty and tattered, a hat that is frayed, a tie that is stained. In short, you could use a loan.
Stop right there, sir. What you are saying smacks of bribery. And you are saying it to one of the world's most competent and experienced detectives. One whose reputation, if not his clothing and income, are above reproach.
Well, Inspector, if you feel that way, I withdraw my statement.
Stop right there, sir. Let me finish. As I was saying, my reputation is sound, and if it weren't for my years of experience and practice, I, you, sir, might be in serious trouble. Exercising the keenest judgment, I have concluded that no crime has occurred here tonight. These 12 unfortunate people have died of natural causes, a fact that might be missed by a less competent investigator.
I should have known that a man of your character and reputation would not be fooled.
Of course not. Now, if you'll be kind enough to show me the bathroom, then we'll discuss the loan, that generous and pertinent loan you mentioned.
And thus did Inspector Fibley solve the case of the Deadly Dozen. And tune in next time when Scare Theater presents one of Inspector Fibley's greatest cases: the disappearance of Wendell Oxley.